Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk Money. This morning, I'm your host, Nicole Goble, one of the advisors and CPAs with Boucher Financial Group, while Steve is on the road traveling and visiting clients. So happy to be with you this morning. It is a bit rainy, but can't complain as we've had a beautiful week here in the Capital Region, lots of sunshine. Today, I'm also joined by my colleague, John Millay. John, would you like to say hello?
Yes, good morning, Nicole, and good morning, everyone. Glad to be on the show this morning. Had the pleasure of joining Martin Shields yesterday and the extreme pleasure of being on the show with Nicole. And, you know, especially Nicole's probably one of the smartest individuals I know, and more importantly, on top of that, probably the nicest person I know, too. So it's great to be on the show with you, Nicole, and, you know, look forward to the next hour.
Thanks so much, John. Wow, the compliments. You have to tell my husband that one, that I'm the nicest person, you know.
absolutely. And, you know, Nicole joined our, you know, Boucher Financial Group a little over a year ago and, you know, moved from New Jersey. And, you know, our firm is, you know, so lucky to have Nicole. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, we always hear here in New York about people moving out of New York, right? And because of all the taxation and other issues. But, you know, it's great to see, you know, you and your family move to the Capital District. And, you know, just great. We're lucky to have you with the firm. And quite frankly, the region's, you know, lucky to have talent like you come into the region. And, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't give your husband, Pete, a shout out too. You know, I know you shared some pictures that he won a 24-mile section of the Tour of the Baton Kill recently. And, you know, great to get the family enjoying the great outdoors around here.
Thanks so much, John. Yes, we are really enjoying it. As you said, moved up from New Jersey, where I was with another advisory firm for about 12 years between Princeton, New Jersey, and New York City. I've been in financial services for over 20, but what I was really missing and what Boucher Financial Group has really provided to me is a sense of community. And John, you hear me say it day in and day out that this is the best group of people I've ever worked with. And, you know, in most cases, you might work with a firm where you have a few A players and then support people. But here, every single team member is an A player. And it's rare to have that many people that are at the top of their game without any egos getting in the way. And that's really because we have such a collaborative environment. And everyone is working for our clients. There's no segmentation where I'm handling my clients, you're handling yours, and you're getting rewarded for, you know, business you're bringing in versus what's going out. It is truly collaborative. And Steve has really, you know, created that culture of teamwork here. And I have to say, it's wonderful. And so many of the topics that we share on our radio show are based on conversations that not only you or I have with our clients, but the entire team, that we're trying to get out there and say, hey, if our clients are experiencing this, probably some of our listeners have the same questions and have the same issues they're dealing with.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this provides a great forum to share that information. And you know, as Steve is, you only have to listen to the show, you know, once and know how important it is to Steve to help others and give back to the community. And you know, this radio show is certainly one component of that.
And John, you recently came over to Boucher Financial Group full time, but I know you've been, you know, working with Steve for a dozen years at Boucher and Clark and have such a vast array of expertise under your belt. But I think today I'd like to ask you to do a bit of a market recap before we get started and talk to the listeners about some other financial planning topics.
Absolutely. You know, you know, it's been a challenging, you know, start to the year, no question. And you know, unfortunately, the volatility continued this week. And you know, overall, you know, the S&P 500 and Dow were down, you know, a little over 2%, and the Nasdaq at 2.8%. You know, and with the S&P and the Nasdaq, it's a sixth straight week of down week. And you know, there's no question, you know, the markets are responding to, you know, some of the major things going on. This week it was inflation, right? So inflation data came out this week. CPI was a little bit higher than expected. It did show a decline from prior month, but it was a little higher than expectations. And, you know, we're in this market where there's overreaction, both positive and negative, to data. And this week was an example of that. You know, CPI data came out, there was a major drop, and then it picked up at the end of the week. And, you know, I think the unfortunate reality for the foreseeable future is just based on all the uncertainty with inflation. I don't want to say uncertainty with interest rates, because I think we all have a good handle on what the Fed's going to do. A lot of that's already built into the markets. But the geopolitical concerns with China, with the zero COVID policy and how that's impacting supply and demand, and then the war in Ukraine. I mean, those levels of uncertainty are definitely going to cause, you know, some fluctuations in the markets, and we experienced it again this week. But and there's no sugarcoating that, right? You know, Steve will be the first to tell you, you know, the market's going to go up, the market's going to go down. He'll guarantee that. The only thing he'll guarantee is you're not going to lose money in the stock market on the weekend, and the other day it's fair game. And you know, but and we can chat more. But overall, you know, when you look at earnings and you look at this, you know, the state of your corporate balance sheets and earnings, it's a very healthy environment. There's no question there's some challenges with inflation, but the baseline we're starting with is so healthy in terms of, you know, when you look at S&P earnings, you know, almost 80% of the company, S&P 500 companies reporting earnings for the Q1 had earnings in excess of their earnings estimates. Their EPS reported was in excess of, you know, analyst estimates, which is a great thing. You know, now to tamper things down going forward, you know, most excited, you know, inflation concerns for the upcoming quarters. And so, you know, the market certainly react to that. But we're starting out with corporate earnings that are strong, corporate balance sheets that are strong. So all that bodes for when we can get through the bumpiness, you know, we certainly have a great foundation to build on.
Absolutely. And I think, John, I shared with you, I had a client who was really concerned and wanted to pull out of the market. And three of us have spoken with this gentleman because we would really, you know, be upset if they made a move and sold out at this point, you know, and we see an immediate increase, you know, in the coming weeks. And they've really hurt themselves for their financial future going forward. So, again, teamwork there. And although most of our clients, you know, do not react that way because they have been through the ups and downs, you know, with Steve, and they understand what we're doing for them and how we're watching the markets and the moves that we're making, right? I know we made a few trades this week, you know, really just of what we were seeing in the economy. But his comment was, you know, okay, CPI went down from 8.5% in the last reading in March to 8.3%. And his comment was 0.2%, that could be, you know, a mathematical error. And I hear it so many times. And as I said earlier, I've been in financial services for over 20 years in various capacities. And everything we've experienced from the dot-com bubble to the financial crisis, the end of 2018, COVID, every time the comment I receive from clients when they're concerned is, this time it's different. And every time it's going to be different. But the one thing that holds true for, you know, throughout history is the stock market always recovers, right? And that's why, as I know you, Marty, talked about a little bit yesterday, we set aside for our clients who know we know need cash flow from their portfolios, you know, 2 years worth of distributions in a conservative strategy where we know we can pull from that. But I read an article recently that bonds are experiencing the worst return since 1842. So I know we're talking about the stock market, but, you know, and Marty fielded a question yesterday from a listener who was asking for an alternative to AGG, the basically ETF that follows the Barclays bond, you know, the aggregate index. So again, you know, it's not just in stocks that we're seeing that. But I know, John, you know, we've done some things for our clients we can talk about, but if you have any questions out there for us on CPI, on, you know, investments, on, you know, what you're seeing out there and you want us to help you make sense of it, please give us a call. We're at 800-TALK-WGY. That's 800-825-5949. But let's go to a quick commercial break. Hello and welcome back to Let's Talk Money. Today I'm your host, Nicole Goble, here with my colleague, John Millay, who's our Chief Operating and Chief Financial Officer. John, I mentioned before the break that we've done some different things for our clients. Do you want to talk just a little bit about how we've been using alternatives really since I came on board about a year ago?
Right. So you know, as Nicole went through, the difficult during this period is it's not only been the stock market down, right? Bonds, which we try to hold to offset and act in a counterbalance to the stock market, has equally been down. So we've been in this situation where stocks have been down, bonds have been down. And so really we've looked for alternatives to bonds, things that are holding up better. So we've introduced, we're doing some alternatives that are giving bond-like exposure, but using options to really limit some of the fluctuations that occur. So it's been a great way to balance risk, and they've performed much better than bonds during this time period.
Yeah, and you know, so when I go over a client's portfolio with them, and you know, we meet with our clients often. I know that's something you also talked about on the radio yesterday. You know, hearing one of the listeners say, "Hey, yeah, I've come into money, and I haven't heard from my advisor on what I should be doing." We're reaching out to our clients constantly, not only in volatile times like today, but in good times as well, because we want to make sure they're comfortable not only with what they're doing in their investment portfolios with us, but are there any life changes going on? I mentioned before the break, you know, this time is different. Well, it's always going to be different for each person, right? So again, if you're on the verge of retirement and you're saying, I don't have 10 or 15 or 20 more years for my portfolio to recover as I did, you know, the last time I went through, for example, the financial crisis, right? It feels different to you now. But fundamentally, as you said, the economy is very strong. So, you know, it's making sure that we're helping our clients and our listeners to get over kind of the emotional piece of that. But as you said, John, we've added some investments through buffered ETFs, through some interesting funds. I know Marty mentioned a JEPI, the JP Morgan Equity Premium Income Fund yesterday, as well as the Victory Market Neutral Fund, in ways that we're adding yield or some form of an income stream, but also using options to protect on the downside and not give really some additional exposure to the stock market. So that's really helped us. And how those buffered ETFs work, if we hold them for a full year, basically from the issue that we purchase, right, they're giving us downside protection of 10% or 15%, depending on the issue we're using. So again, even though you might be seeing some red or some paper losses right now, you know, we're pretty confident, again, in the recovery of the stock market long term. So when we look at that, we feel really good.
Absolutely. And just to, you know, remark on, you know, you're relaying some of the conversations with clients. You know, we there's a whole study of behavioral finance, right? We wish we were machines and we didn't react. But the reality is it's tough, right? It can be gut-wrenching to see your portfolio go down, right? And we understand there's going to be, you know, natural, you know, reactions to that of concern, and you know, clients need to talk through that and understand what's going on, and that's, you know, that's really where an advisor comes in, right, to really help you analyze and then make the right decisions. Because, you know, as Nicole said, it's impossible to time the markets, right? So it's difficult to know, is it right to sell, is it not right? And our goal is to really work with our clients and take that emotion out, because it is hard. And you know, you can see study after study where if with emotion, sometimes we get attached to stocks or we sell out at a low and think we're going to buy back at the right time, and that's impossible. And what we really do is try to work with clients to take that emotion out. But we understand, you know, those conversations are good conversations. We encourage them, because again, we want clients to feel comfortable, and you should feel comfortable as you're sitting in the market. And again, having that ability to bounce those questions off, have somebody kind of talk you up the ledge sometimes, which is what has to happen. But there's no questions that, you know, this volatility, very few people are comfortable in volatile times. And having someone to help you kind of make the right choice is really critical.
Again, our phone lines are open, so reach us at 800 Talk WGY. That's 800-825-5949. And that's important. I have to say, I've been in the advisory side of the business for 13 years. Before that, again, I did work in financial services, but more on the institutional side and also on the money management side. So I've seen a lot of different areas of the market and experienced it in different ways. And of course, myself personally, I went through the financial crisis and lost my job during that time and had to sell a house for $100,000 less than I bought it for and got divorced. So I went through those life changes in the worst possible time, but just like the stock market, I came back. I was resilient. But when we look at that and we think back, right, to that, we have to look at, okay, well, what's different this time? And John, I know you talked about, companies coming out with strong earnings, right? That's different. The labor market being strong, the housing market, right? When we talk about, yes, we've seen a huge increase in housing prices over the last couple of years, especially with COVID, right? People wanting to move out of apartments and own something that they can be in and having had been, at their homes longer, that they want to move up kind of to a space that they could call their own. And mortgage rates being so very low, it made it affordable. So we do feel that there's going to be kind of a natural slowdown as mortgage rates increase. But as Marty talked about in our webinar that we did, we do our market and economic recap every quarter after the quarter end. So our next one will be in July on our website at boucher.com. He talked about how there's been such an underinvestment in housing during the 2010 to 2019 decade that we're not going to hit a housing bubble because there's such a lack of supply. And I know that's probably what you've been seeing in the area up here as well, John.
Absolutely. And your comments about unemployment and there's no question inflation hurts. We all feel it with our grocery bills and filling up our gas tank, and there's no question it is causing pain, but what, as you mentioned with the unemployment, unemployment is so low, just about 3.6%, and there's actually for every one person looking for a job, there's two open positions, and so one of the things as I talk to people, the consumer sentiment is yes, they're concerned about inflation, no question. But there's not that concern about do I have a job? Am I going to have a paycheck? And because quite frankly, most people feel that, hey, I'm feeling some wage growth. Now it is being offset by inflation, so it may be minimal real wage growth, but there is wage growth, and people generally feel that they're secure with their job, or know quite frankly that if they want another job, there's openings there. So inflation's there, inflation is real, but is one of the differences we see now is the employment is so strong that the consumer sentiment is, yes, I'm concerned about inflation and I'm concerned about how that may impact, but the reality is people are traveling like crazy right now. People are still spending, their personal balance sheets are strong, which is a good thing, right? So savings are up, debt is down. And so that is definitely a different situation. And it is one of these things that inflation, we did see a slight decline in the CPI. The expectation is that's going to continue to decline. Certainly, what's happening with energy costs because of the war in Ukraine, and the little bit of unknown is with the COVID situation, the zero COVID policy in China. When will that start to relax? And that will impact, inflation as well, because we'll certainly see supply, open up and help certainly, create some downdraft in inflation.
You're totally correct, John. And that brings us back to, again, like you said, understanding kind of the full picture with our clients and making sure, they're not just looking at that. And also, as you said, the personal balance sheets are very strong, but, whereas coming out of COVID, we saw so many people who had pent-up demand, whether it was for, renovating their homes, again, with the idea there where if I'm going to have to potentially spend more time at home going forward, I want it to be someplace I enjoy, or you know, purchasing again, big ticket items, even vehicles. And of course, vehicles have seen different issues with supply chain issues around chip shortages, and that really causing an increase both in used and new car prices, and lack of inventory there. But right now, I think people are seeing inflation and hoping, right, that we're close to, if not at, peak inflation, and are maybe holding off on buying things, right? I know me personally, we'd like to replace my husband's car at some point, but we're thinking right now, okay, we could get top dollar to sell his car, but what are we going to replace it with? You know, so I think again, we may see a bit of a slowdown here in people that are holding off to see if we've hit peak inflation before they go out and purchase some of those big ticket items. But overall, as you said, no lack of jobs out there, certainly. And so
Absolutely.
you talked a little bit yesterday with Marnie about, you know, some of the financial planning meetings that you've attended. And I think it's important for people to take a step back right now and look at that financial picture.
Absolutely. And you know, as you know from being in the business as long as you have, you know, there's several legs of the stool of setting up for financial success, whether your goals are retirement goals or just maybe it could be buying a house. It's, you know, so investing and picking the right decisions on where to put your money is important, and we talk a lot about that. But also, you know, one of the really important legs is, you know, creating a financial plan that you can stick to. And it's hard, that's a hard thing to do, right? It's easy to say to do it, but it's hard. And sometimes we, as you know, we procrastinate and we feel bad that we haven't been doing that, so we procrastinate more. And but really, if there's anything, you know, we see what makes a successful financial company is also what makes a successful financial investor is that developing a plan, you know, looking at the money, you know, your wages, your money you have coming in, looking at your expenses, and you know, holding yourself a little bit accountable, and that can be tough. I mean, because we've all made not smart financial decisions in our life. Very few of us are robots who do everything perfect right out of the gate. You know, most of us have made some financial mistakes, and you know, it's hard to admit that. And you know, one is the importance of developing a plan, and really looking at your spending and trying to control and you know, so you can be setting aside money for investing, again, whether that's for short-term needs or long-term, but having that plan is and having, you know, conversations with people who can hold you accountable in a positive, constructive way are such an important thing.
Absolutely. And again, it's not necessarily, you know, having to cut. Sometimes it's just gaining a better understanding of, you know, what income you have coming in, what expenses you have going out. Well, we're about to take a break, so please come back to us after the commercial. You're listening to Let's Talk Money, brought to you by Boucher Financial Group, where we help our clients prioritize their health while managing their wealth for life. Hello and welcome back to Let's Talk Money. This morning, I'm your host, Nicole Goebel, CPA and Wealth Advisor with Boucher Financial Group. Steve is traveling at the moment, but we'll be back with you next week. Thank you for joining us this morning. I also have my colleague, John Millay, with me, who's our Chief Operating and Financial Officer with Boucher Financial Group. I'd just like to say, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out for the horrible shooting in Buffalo that you just heard about on the news break. So again, just our hearts go out to the victims' families, and certainly again, not something we want to see, especially in our area. So please, you know, think about them today, and kiss your family members, and just give them a hug for today. So wanted to get back to really talking about how we work with our clients. And again, it's making sure that we're looking at the total financial picture. And I've met a lot of other advisors over the years and brokers who profess to do holistic financial planning. But really, again, I think we actually do provide holistic planning here at Boucher Financial Group. As I mentioned before, we have such a collaborative environment. As you heard in the description of our firm, John and I are two of the four CPAs we have on staff, four certified financial planners, an accredited investment fiduciary. Several of us are going for other designations as well. Myself, as a certified divorce financial analyst, I'm going through that process now. But again, you really have such a group of individuals with various backgrounds and expertise. So, John, I know before kind of taking this role on, you ran our sister company, Boucher and Clark, but before that, you worked at a number of regional banks and in the tax world. So, you've really been around quite a few different businesses and have run them over the years.
Absolutely. So, CPA and worked in public accounting and probably 25 years in corporate finance in the last 12 years running our sister company. And now, as a financial advisor and CFO, Chief Operating Officer at the firm. And, our area is made up by a lot of small businesses, right? And so we have a lot of small business owners, and many of, we work with many small business owners. And, a lot of the challenges they're facing are the same, issues that when we talk about Amazon and Apple, they're facing. I mean, this labor market is impacting businesses. I speak to CEOs almost daily, and in a prior capacity, I was chairman of the board of a chamber of area chamber of commerce, and spoke to business owners a lot. And businesses are feeling it, with hiring employees, and employees are so important. I mean, you cannot have a successful business without having great employees. It's impossible. And it's a challenge. It is a challenge to retain and attract. Not only if we had, record numbers of employees retiring and some just taking themselves out of the workforce, it impacts businesses. And so businesses are always trying to look at ways to retain and attract key employees. And it's a challenge, and it's going to continue to be a challenge.
Yeah, I know our colleague Vinny Testa wrote a blog on that a couple months ago, The Great Resignation. And, that did really impact the workforce because coming out of COVID, people were really feeling like either, hey, I want to go do something different. I don't want to wait to pursue my life dream because everything could be over instantly with, the reality of how COVID hit many people. Or they, really got used to working remotely and didn't want to necessarily go back to working in the office. I know, that there's many companies out there that are still providing some type of a hybrid environment, but, individuals who have said, hey, if they have me back to my office, I'm quitting. I'm moving on from here. And so, it is, there are a number of things I think you need to do both to attract and to retain good employees. I know we've been working with a couple of our clients just to help them put in new retirement plans, for example. But it's funny, I saw an article this morning on how, Goldman Sachs is giving essentially unlimited vacation time to managers. And I had that at my former company as a senior wealth advisor. I had unlimited vacation time because oftentimes when you get to that level and you're accountable, right, for your own book of business and you're basically bringing your own revenue into that company. Right, it's on you. It's you're going to work as hard as you want, but you're not going to be successful unless you're putting in the time. So I rarely came across someone in my position that was actually, taking more than, say, a financial planner or analyst vacation time just from the perspective of they couldn't, to keep their business going. So, again, sometimes unlimited vacation time doesn't necessarily amount to taking more days
Right.
if you're not going to lose them, but John, I know you were integral in kind of putting our benefits package together, and we, of course, have hired and retained some good people. So, what are some of the things small companies should be looking for when they're trying to attract new talent?
Yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, obviously, it first starts off with what's important to the types of individuals you're looking to hire. But, again, in my communication with other HR professionals and CEOs, flexibility seems to be really key. I think as a society, one thing that the pandemic did is it made us reevaluate what's important to us. And that can come up in different ways, but ultimately it comes down to flexibility. And I think a lot of employees are trying to strike a better balance between work life and family life. And so, you know, and that flexibility can take different forms based on the type of company. You know, you mentioned remote, you know, not every employer can do that. You know, some employers need their employees at their facility, you know, at the location. You know, it's hard to do manufacturing remote, right? And so I think employers are looking, saying, okay, so if I can't give flexibility on where you're working, maybe there's other areas of flexibility. And you mentioned, you know, PTO, maybe more flexible PTO policies. But generally, I think, you know, flexibility is key. You know, the other reality, and this is tough for me, you know, I think we're in a different age now where, you know, it used to be when you took a job, you know, as an employer, we hoped that was going to be lifetime employment, you know, that the employee would stay for life. And just, you know, one of the realities is, you know, employees are understanding they have options and they move around more than they ever have. And, you know, as an employer, you know, that's something we try to, you know, combat, in that we want people to stay. We want to keep people happy and stay forever. And, but that, you know, just as our society is changing, you know, that is definitely one of the things that is changing. People are more apt to leave. And we're seeing that at in the national numbers in people moving from one job to the next. But that is a challenge. It's a challenge with small business because, you know, hiring an employee, training them, costs a lot of money. And when they make a decision to leave, that can be very impactful. And so, again, I think as small businesses are they're looking at flexibility. They are looking at, you know, some businesses are, you know, rewarding through maybe incentive compensation, trying to come up with creative ways to tie for performance. So employees are getting, you know, performance pay for helping to deliver results, right? So not just a guaranteed bonus, but performance and incentive, and that's certainly been, you know, really beneficial in getting employees engaged as well.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's funny, when I joined the workforce, my first job was with Bloomberg, the financial services company in New York City. And there was a 1-year waiting period to enter their 401k. And within 3 months of me joining, they opened it up to everyone. And I know a lot of small businesses still have plans in place where, again, if they do offer a retirement plan, maybe there's a 1 to 2 year waiting period for anybody to become eligible. So we're seeing a lot of smaller employers really having to rethink, you know, what they might be adding as a retirement benefit to attract people as well. And, you know, I know that's something hard to think about. Again, if finance is not your specialty, make sure you're working with, you know, an advisor, an HR consultant that can steer you the right path. But there are options out there that, if you don't want to get too complicated, but you do feel that it's important to the individuals that you're hiring, that you're offering some way for them to save money into a retirement plan. There's things called simple IRAs, again, where they can defer some money, but also some is coming from you as the employer. Again, a 401k plan does not need to be extremely expensive, but, you know, you should typically work with a third-party administrator, a TPA, to create that plan. And if you have the wonderful problem of earning a ton of money as an owner, you know, and you're looking to defer more than you potentially could to a traditional 401k or, you know, IRA or Roth IRA, you know, there's other measures that you can create, what are called cash balance or defined benefit plans as well, that really gives you an opportunity to put a lot of funds away. And again, just basically by contributing a small amount to some of those employees. So, you should be talking to an advisor who is aware of these options and who can connect you with the right people to put them in place.
Absolutely. And just want to take this second to encourage listeners, you know, to call in with any questions for Nicole and myself. You can reach us at 800-TALK-WGY. That's 800-825-5949. We certainly would love to speak to you. So if you have any questions, definitely give us a call. You know, Nicole, one of the things that, you know, now that inflation is rearing its head, you know, one of the topics that's getting some interest again is I-bonds. And, you know, I know you and I had some brief conversations about that and didn't know if you want to kind of share some thoughts, you know, clients are looking at ways of, okay, how can I get return that's greater than inflation? This is certainly an area, but, there's certainly some limitations as well, but definitely wanted to kind of have you share some thoughts on that.
Sure. So I know Marty talked about it a bit on our show yesterday, and I think Steve's mentioned it over the last couple weeks. Certainly, I-bonds have been a topic for the last year and a half or so, as really it's investing directly through Treasury Direct. So that's important to understand. Your advisor can't purchase these bonds for you. But essentially, it is a 30-year bond that has a really, right now, a 0% base interest rate. But what's attractive currently, interest rate that's tied for I-bonds is paying out 9.62%, right? So obviously, with the stock market down, with bonds down, traditional bonds, 10% for the year. And, alternatives, again, as we talked about, are doing better. When people look at 9.62% versus what they could be getting in a money market or CD, they're thinking, oh my gosh, this is a sure thing. Well, again, it is a good opportunity. You can buy up to $10,000 per person through Treasury Direct. But it's important to understand the caveats to that, right? So that's the rate that the bonds are going to be paying out for the next 6 months that was set the beginning of May. That rate will reset in November. Now, for those holding those bonds, I'm sure they'll hope that that rate is the same or higher. But for the overall economy, if inflation starts coming down, that rate is likely to go down. So I think as a whole, I would prefer the inflation goes down versus the I-bonds rate go up. But really then, when you're looking to own that, really you have to hold it, right, for at least a year. But when you potentially go to sell in years 2 through 5, you will take a hit or basically have to give back about 3 months of interest if you sell during that time frame. So again, it's not a guarantee. So when we look at 9.62% today, we're thinking this is wonderful. But let's say hypothetically, the rate goes down to 5%, and you're saying, scratching your head saying, okay, but now the stock market's recovered and everybody else is making 10% or 15%. Again, it's losing out on the opportunity cost. So I would say it's certainly a good investment. If you're sitting in cash and you have $10,000 to put in, then go for it. But what I would not do is sell out of your investment portfolio while it's down to fund I-bonds to get that short-term return. And then again, you've essentially locked in your losses and potentially missing out on that recovery for the stock market.
Absolutely. And, one of the interesting features you mentioned, the tax exempt for state and local. And if you're using this for college tuition, right, it's tax-free, right? So certainly does provide some interesting short-term, college planning ideas as well. Many people are familiar with the 529. This would allow you to put some money into this, the I-bond, and if you're using it for, college expenses, totally tax-free. So that certainly is, again, if your child's, 2 years old, 3 years old, and you're looking at a longer time horizon, the 529 is going to be the better option. But for some short-term planning, this certainly could fill in some gaps as well.
That's a great point, John. Yeah, certainly the taxability of the I-bonds makes sense. And, we had really sold out of municipal bonds earlier this year, just when we took all of the bonds out of our taxable accounts, which really worked well for clients and significantly reduced exposure in our retirement accounts to bonds. Because municipal bonds, although they're attractive, in the past with that tax-free income, especially those in high tax brackets, they just weren't paying out enough to warrant the investment. So we had moved out of them. So this having that kind of tax benefit as well is certainly a good thing. And just kind of talking about, right, the overall market, as John mentioned in our recap earlier, we did see an up day in the market on Friday and recovered some of the losses. So market would have been down a lot more than that 2 to 2.8% had we not seen, Friday's surge. But I was reading another article about, money flows, and just $51.4 billion went into global money market funds the last week of April, and $19.2 billion came out of ETFs during April, which was the biggest outflow since 2019. So when we start seeing these numbers, personally, I'm thinking, oh, we're close to a turnaround, because that's when the most people get out, right? Is when you're close to that bottom and you're really, they've just had enough. So when investors really start pulling their money to this degree is when I think you start seeing that we're poised for a recovery. So as Steve says often on the show, we're just waiting for some positive news, right? Any positive news. You saw that 2 weeks ago when the Fed came out with, the 0.5% increase that was expected. Basically, the market reacted favorably. Now, again, the next couple of days it was down, but I really do think that this is a prolonged, as all of us have used that term, downturn that we've seen. So it doesn't feel good. I know Steve often quotes our colleague Samantha Macy. I'm sure she wishes that she was getting paid on the uncomfortable term that she used.
Right.
That makes total sense because we use it so often in our conversations. But it's true, it feels uncomfortable. It's prolonged. But again, we ended the week with the S&P down around 16%, and as Stephen often talks about, right, average intra-year drop in the S&P 500 long term is 14%. So we're not far off from that average intra-year drop. It's just lasted a lot longer.
Exactly. And Nicole, one, just closing comment on I-bonds, because I do think this is an area where people do get confused. And you did mention that there are two components of the rate. There's a base rate and the base rate is currently zero, and the variable rate is what is tied to inflation, and that resets every 6 months. So it just reset in May. But as inflation goes down, that's going to reset. So we've obviously just came out of a period of very low inflation. So that overall rate on I-bonds was very low, and because you basically take the base rate and then add the variable. So certainly not a place to be. And as that and that rate, even though it's 30-year bonds, that rate resets. So it's 9.6 for this period, but it's going to reset and reset down as inflation comes down. So just want to make that clear, because I think there is a misnomer. Some individuals think, well, I'm getting that 9.6 for the next 30 years, and you're not. That's going to reset, and as inflation comes down, as we expect it to come down, that's going to dramatically reduce that rate, because again, that the base rate that's being added to is currently zero.
Exactly, John. And again, we are seeing, right, the as we talked about earlier, obviously housing is going to be impacted by mortgage rates increasing. And even though the Fed had only raised rates 0.5% and now another half a you know a quarter percent and now another 0.5%, mortgage rates went up much quicker. And we are I know I saw a Capital One CD for 5 years is now 2.25% as an example. So we are going to start seeing those incremental changes where banks are paying you a little bit more to keep your money with them longer term. And again, I think those are all signs that lead us to believe that, they're as interest rates increase, again, bonds are going to continue to have difficult times because the rates that existing bonds are paying out are going to be lower than those that are issued currently. So that's where you got to make sure that you're not holding on to those long duration bond funds or long duration bonds, right? And you're not locking up your money for the long term. Again, there's that opportunity cost of when the stock market does turn around or when new bonds are issued, that again, you're locking all your assets into that long term. But with the I bonds, as you said, although it's a 30-year bond, you can certainly sell out much sooner than that. But keep in mind that you don't want to have that unnecessary penalty and lose out on some of that interest. So again, if $10,000 is something you have sitting in the bank, definitely a good investment. If you're going to have to pull it from an account where, again, you're down in the market in ETFs or mutual funds and realize that loss to do it, I'd say, you probably don't want to do that because you're both realizing a loss and then locking up your money in something that, again, is going to have to be there for a bit. So, we talked a little bit about business owners and attracting employees, and we were also talking a bit about just kind of overall financial planning. But when we talk about kind of debt in general, I like to look at a client as, again, looking at their finances as a well-run company. And one question I often get is, should I withdraw my funds and pay off my mortgage? And right now would be a horrible time to do that. Your investment portfolio is down. You may still have built-in gains long term, so you could end up basically selling at a loss. So again, realizing that loss, paying either capital gains or if it's coming from a retirement account, ordinary income tax on those funds, and paying down debt that's typically, a very low fixed rate for most mortgages. And I know, again, this goes back to the what feels good. So it might feel good to pay off your mortgage and to feel like you're more stable, but it actually has the exact opposite effect on your financial picture. If you're taking money out of the market and you're putting it into your home, right, you're now increasing your exposure to real estate and an illiquid asset. Because if you need that money for something else, say unexpected healthcare costs, you need to unexpectedly repair your car, whatever it may be, you don't have access to that money unless you take a loan out against your home or a reverse mortgage, or a home equity line of credit. So, that's really where I'd say is think about that total financial picture. So, John, any
Absolutely.
comments? I know we're coming
Yeah,
to the top of the
just
hour.
and that's yeah, just to reiterate that that's where working with an advisor, right? Because that is an emotional decision, and we can help point to say, what makes sense from an analytical point of view, what, how do the numbers play? But we understand emotions come into play, and that's where we, can work with clients or advisor can work with a client to help, take the emotion out. And it's not only investing emotion, but it can be decisions like that, could have negative impact on their, their overall net worth.
Thanks so much, John. And again, please feel free to give us a call at Boucher Financial Group if we can assist in any way. This was Let's Talk Money brought to you by Boucher Financial Group, where we help our clients prioritize their health while we manage their wealth for life. Thanks for joining us.